Now, I'm going to start with a confession. I didn't check the December service sheet, which Paula prepared before this morning, and it's been my practice not to use the readings from the grapevine, but to use the readings for today. So I'm afraid that this message that I'm about to give you is based on some different readings, but I'm hoping that that won't be too much of a problem and that it will be clear as we go along. I did wonder in a split second before I read the gospel, shall I read the gospel I've prepared the sermon on, or shall I read the one that you're expecting? But I chose to read the one that you were expecting, and indeed the themes are common. So I hope that that won't throw you too much. The readings, for anyone who is interested, are also from Isaiah. The Old Testament reading, which I'll refer to and quote, is from Isaiah 25, verses 6 to 10a. And the Gospel is from St. Matthew 15, 29 to 37. I will actually read to you the Old Testament reading from Isaiah. Isaiah 25, 6 to 10a has this. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation, for the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain. So that's from Isaiah 25, verses 6 to 10a. The psalm set for today is Psalm 23, which you know well. And the gospel reading is about the feeding of the multitude. So perhaps we can bear that in mind as I offer you these thoughts. Similar themes about waiting, about being ready, but rather a different picture to the one that we had on Sunday, which was rather dark. So, I don't know about you, but I love Christmas. I love all the trimmings, I love making things, I like decorating, planning and buying gifts. I like keeping in touch with friends through the cards I send. I like cooking special things. I love the music. I love the sense of expectancy. And I love the stories of the Nativity. I've got a garage full of costumes for Nativity. And I've got puppets of Mary, Joseph, shepherds and angels. This year we're going to make a giant paper angel to put in the church porch to welcome people. And although we have to do things differently this year, it's a challenge to make us more creative. Like maybe some of you, I was brought up on Blue Peter and sticky back plastic. And in a time when we often had to make things like nativity costumes because you couldn't just buy them in Tesco's. So although I do think, as I know many do, that the commercialisation of Christmas has gone too far, and I do refuse to put up my decorations before at least the middle of December, I still do enjoy the trimmings. Yes, I've often wished for some peace and quiet to reflect on the meaning of Christmas, rather than a round of visiting and being visited, entertaining and being entertained. And this year, I'll get my wish, as I think we'll be spending Christmas on our own. Yet I realised as I was thinking about today that I've always got Advent wrong. Or perhaps it would be better to say only partially right. It's not the way in which the world distorts the season, although it does, but it's also my own religious understanding of it. Even when I've thought of the true meaning of Christmas, I've tended to think of Advent as preparing to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Like Lent, Advent used to be a time of austerity and sobriety as we prepare our hearts for the celebration. No flowers in church, and for some a time of fasting before the feast. Fair enough. But even here, the focus in my mind has been on preparing to celebrate the coming of the babe. And the reading I just read you from Isaiah 25 challenged me when I read it, because it says, "This is the Lord for whom we have waited. This Lord, the one who provides a great feast," which is a theme picked up in the gospel reading where Jesus heals the sick and feeds the people. You've heard today, and we heard on Sunday, readings about being alert and ready for the day of the Lord, which will come unexpectedly. They were dark images, perhaps rather terrifying, the sky darkening, fire taking hold. And certainly Advent is a time when we need to think seriously about whether we're spiritually ready for the coming of the Lord, to look inward, to ask God to change in us the things that need changing. But today, the coming of the Lord is described as a time of feasting, with those marvellous images of the holy mountain of God, the feast we'll all enjoy. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. I said that I've got Advent wrong because it makes me realise that the reason we celebrate the birth of the baby is because of the man. We celebrate the beginning because we know that he grew to be the one who healed and fed people then, and who continues to heal and feed us now. The birth stories of Jesus are charming and I love them, but they can be a distraction for us. After all, we're interested in the early life of Beethoven or Shakespeare because of the music or literature they created. Yes, there are many ways in which the actual birth of Jesus could be seen in retrospect by the church as fulfilling prophecies about how the Messiah would come. Yes, we can and no doubt will next month learn much from the experience of Mary, from the ways in which others are recognised in the baby, the signs of God's coming on earth. But for now, in Advent, our focus is rightly on the end, not beginning. As Michael said in his reflection, we traditionally, Advent was a time when we thought about judgment, the last things as they're called, judgment, heaven and hell. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. We associate Christmas with gifts. And this is true of Advent too. For the Lord for whom we wait comes to fulfill our hopes for truth, justice, a new beginning, peace and light. He brings joy. Last Saturday, in the quiet morning organised by the prayer group, we reflected on the gifts of faith, peace and joy. And in our Advent study this week, I'm going to be thinking about some of those other gifts brought by the one for whom we have waited. As we know, God's kingdom is not yet realised on earth as in heaven. And despite our prayers that this might be so, it often seems as if it will be a very long time before it is. It's wonderful today to read about the time when tears will be wiped from all faces. But that is very far from the case yet. Today, many of us will gather, even virtually, at Tim's funeral, which reminds us of the sadness we all experience at human loss. Yet one of the gifts of this Lord for whom we wait is that of eternal life, and that's perhaps the greatest gift of all. The time of feasting on God's holy mountain is a vision for the future. But Jesus' feeding of the multitude and his healing of the sick are in what we now call the Holy Land was real. And it was a foretaste of that great time described by Isaiah. Jesus brought the gifts of God into our world, then as a foretaste of how it would be and of what we hope and wait for. Having the life and example of Jesus before us, we can look for the small signs of his gifts in our lives right now. We can look for and rejoice in the healing power of forgiveness, which we experience each time we worship together when we confess our sins. We can be fed by him through the sacrament, even though at the moment it's virtual, still it reminds us of the way he feeds us. And we can look each day for his unexpected gifts in moments of joy, peace and hope. Isaiah 25:9. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. This Advent, let our focus be on the man, not the babe. Let us use our time to reflect on all that Jesus brings us through faith and on the way in which he walks with us through life and even through death. I said the psalm today is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Their words we know so well. May they sustain us as we wait in longing for his coming. Amen.